Hello, everybody. Welcome to Coffee with Casey. My name is Casey Sampson. We take a look at market conditions and market strategies. Today, we're going to talk about selling luxury homes. But before we do, first, I'm going to call out Justin Donnelly, who runs this studio for Sampson Properties. He put on an incredible show for all these great agents at Sampson. Our awards banquet made it look like the Oscars. So, you know, it's having professionals like this at Sampson Properties. It makes everybody look good. But let's talk about the market conditions right now. So Gary Keller said, we're definitely in a recession, right? I don't know where he's looking at, but where I'm looking at, it's an incredible market, right? Our inventory that we're going to go over is up. Our sales are up. I mean, everything we put on the market is selling. They all have multiple contracts. They're bidding over list price. So I'm not quite sure what the heck he's talking about, but we'll take a look. We'll take a look at the market. So we're going to look at the market real quick. I'm going to go right to the topic for today, which is selling luxury homes. And that is different than selling family homes. Okay. So let's go ahead and go to the first slide. Is that working, Justin? Bam. I got it. All right. So let's look at the inventory. What killed us last year in 2023 was there was no inventory. It went down 30% across the board. This year, it went down 30% against the five-year average. So this year, I'm comparing to last year, we're up 39, 37, 36 for the counties that we cover. So an average of 40% up for the year. So we've not only got all that back that didn't list last year, we're up 10% over the top of that. So this is really good news. What's not so good news is the success rate on the right. These are the homes that are pending. So if 10 homes are on the market, 4.2 of them are pending, right? That's not really good. That's a more of a buyer's market. A buyer's market is anything under 40. So you could see across the board, the number of homes that are pending, 42, 40, 43, 38, average of 41%. That technically is a buyer's market. Now, my question is, we list five houses and all five of them sell and they sell in the first weekend and they have multiple contracts on every one of them. And they sell at 108% above list price. Why in the hell are 6 out of 10 homes not selling? Now, we had a, I'm going to show you a $2 million market here in a minute. It's awful. And yet we had 11 contracts on a $2 million house. 11. And you got a ton of houses just sitting there not selling. So I don't know what's going on the right side of this with the success rate. That's just odd. There's your chart for inventory. There's your chart for the success rate, and these are by county. But we also look at the cities. So Vienna's way up, right? We were down 40% last year. We're up 78%. And then on the right, you see the success rates. Haymarket has been dragging behind, but they finally caught up. Now they're at least at zero. But you can see some markets are doing better than others. Some inventories are doing better than others. But the success rate, again, disappointing 43%. And what we're going to talk about today is every house we put on the market is going under contract with multiple contracts. We're going to talk about how that happens and why that is. But I'm going to focus on the luxury home market. All right. Let's see what else Julie has for me here. What other chart have you got? Come on. Boom. All right. That's just a chart that's showing you that some areas are doing a little bit better than others. So realtors, you know, why is this important? I need to know when I'm putting a house on the market, are most of the houses under contract? Are they available? Are they not selling? How is the market? What are the market conditions that we're getting ready to walk in and sell on? You know, is it a buyer's market? Is it a seller's market? You need to let the sellers know. Let's just say, for example, that 70% of the homes on the market, or let me stop. I'm going to show you a chart here in a minute. Let's say that 86% of the homes over $2 million in Vienna and Oakton did not have a successful launch, are not under contract in the appropriate period of days, are sitting on the market, have 100 or 200. So when we go into that market, we're going to launch a house, $2 million, in that market. And I will guarantee you it's going to sell in the first weekend. There'll be no home inspection. We're going to sell it probably $150,000 to $200,000 over list price. So how can you guarantee that that house is going to sell when the market is so weak. So more and more, I'm starting to say, screw the market, because we are our own market. If we put on five $2 million homes and they're all selling $185,000 over list price, then I'm like, yeah, I don't know if everybody's doing it right, but this is the proper protocol. And I'm less and less concerned about the overall success rate of an area. So let's talk about the first thing about luxury homes. Pick up the Sun Gazette newspaper and you'll see people with big $2 million homes, $3 million homes, $150. Well, some of the most featured agents, the biggest name agents we have in my market, which is Vienna Oakton, one of them is always in that newspaper. Last year, they listed $48 million. They sold $21 million, which means that they had, what is that, $27 million did not sell. More homes did not sell than sold. Their days on market was 200. Now, the reason I'm putting these things up is because when you talk to somebody in the luxury home market, let's say in our market it's 1.7 to 2.5 million, okay? They're going to want to talk to a couple different agents, and they're going to hear different information from different agents, right? So a seller needs to authenticate. They need to authenticate that whoever's giving me advice, see that bottom one, it's 48 million, and they listed 48 million, and they sold 49 million, and the days on market was 9. You would probably put more credibility on the advice of that agent than you would on the agent that is put on $60 million, sold $20 million, and they were setting on the market for $201. You need to authenticate the data that you're getting. Billy is putting this house on the market for $2 million tomorrow, and an agent is reading in the Riot Act because he's doing it wrong. So we looked at her stuff. 60% of her stuff doesn't sell. So again, when somebody tells you something, you need to authenticate. Now, this is extremely important. Once you've authenticated that whoever's talking to me and telling me that has a great track record, listen to them. Trust them. I know what you read or what you heard or what your neighbor said or whatever else. You got to trust them. You got to say, hey, man, we had one seller just give us the keys, gave Morgan the keys and said, I'm going to Key West. Do whatever the hell you want. Try and give me $1.9 million. So Morgan went in, she painted it, fixed it up. We sold it for $2.15 million and sent him a check. And every time we had a contract, we just send it down and he'd sign off on it. So you need to authenticate and trust whoever you're talking to, okay? And there's not a person on that list down there. You'll see Ferris and Johnny and Morgan and Kelly and Billy and Colby, Laura and Pam. Whatever they tell you, trust me, that's, you know, when Morgan says you got to paint this house, you have to paint this house, right? So you need to be able to trust the people that are telling you what's the right and what's wrong. So in order to do that, you need to know what's right and what's wrong. Well, we are realtors. We put every listing in the MLS, and MLS tracks every listing we have, every day on market, every failure, every canceled or expired, every sale, every pending. It's all on there. All right. So let's go to, this is the market we're getting ready to sell in. This is a $2 million market. This is a luxury home market in Vienna and Oakton. And you see all the reds over there. Those are active. The top, I don't know, 15 or 20. There's 21 houses that you're looking at here. So that right next to the status, and you'll see A/C. What that means is it's active, but it has a contingency. In other words, they need a home inspection. They need a home sale contingency. They have some contingency on there that's not letting them say, as long as it has an A on it, you can still show it. And you can still bring in contracts. You can still ratify contracts. So I don't look at the A/C as being a success story at all. The pendings, those are 5 pendings. A couple of them have been on for 80, 90 days, 50 days. So there's 3 homes that have been on and went pending in 5 or 6 days, okay? Well, the middle one right there is called Verna, and that's the one that Billy sold. And if you look over here on the far right, you'll see the percentage of assessment. Now, if you can't read it, I'll read it for you. The first pending is on Marshall Lake. That sold for 105% of assessment. The one Verna sold at 121% of assessment. Now, that's a little deceiving because Billy got $200,000 over list price. Settles today. We can announce it. $200,000 over. That house had 11 contracts and sold $200,000 over list price. So I'm guessing that's going to put it somewhere at about the 131 range. So the other ones are selling at 105. He sold at 131, and he had 11 contracts. So this is a seller. When you walk into a luxury home market, here's the problem. Agents are so excited to get a $2 million listing, they don't want to mess it up. They don't want to come in, and they don't want to tell a seller what to do on that house, right? But if it's got yellow paint, got to paint that house. If it's got a problem, we got to fix that problem. If it has a street behind it, and they go, yeah, that street doesn't bother anybody. Yeah, it does. Yeah, that's a discount. It's called a lot discount. And you need to take that into account. You need to say, hey, man, customary for this house is X dollars, but that road is a problem, and we need to fix that road. So we'll talk about that here in a minute, but in the pricing section. But so based on this, the only successful ones in this market are selling at 105 and 104, and ours at 130, 131, okay? So how is it we can march in to launch a listing this afternoon coming soon and say, guarantee it's going to sell over the weekend, guarantee I'm going to get you to settlement when you're settling on your new house by, when is it, Billy? April 12th. We're going to have you at settlement before then. We're not going to have any home inspections. We're not going to have any of that stuff. And our goal is 2.1 to 2.2. In a neighborhood, last sales, 1.6 and 1.7, right? So it's not as if this is the smaller one in the neighborhood. We're just selling the neighborhood, even though it's a nice neighborhood. But that's, how do we arrive at that? That's what I'm going to go over right here. First of all, we're going to talk about pricing. The house on the left, when you're pricing a luxury home, right? When you're pricing a family home, there's a size and an age. So we pretty much know, what does a house that's built in 2000, that's 3,200 square feet, what is a house, what is a customary value for that house? Got it. Before I start on this pricing, let me just be very clear on this. Before you do anything on pricing, you need to validate and authenticate what the assessment is, right? This is very important, right? The assessment could be wrong. And if the assessment is wrong, then it could throw everything off on your pricing. So you need to say, house on the left was 5,000 square feet. It was built in 2001. What is the average assessment for a house of that size within a 2 mile radius? Apply that number, not what the assessor put in, apply that number to the assessment. Now we know the accurate assessment is the average of what has sold, right? So when you come in, let me give you a perfect example. Morgan and I are launching a house. Its assessment is 1.18. And I just didn't feel that was right. I was like, I just don't think that's right. So we said, well, give me all the houses in a 5 mile radius and da 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 da. The average is 1.287. So that would give me a false read on what the value of that house was. So the first thing you have to do is get the average age and average size of that house. Get it from a whatever, 5 mile radius, 3 mile radius, doesn't matter, and figure out what the average assessment is and apply that to your house, right? So now we can start our models and we can do our pricing. So let's say that house on the left, Kelly and I came up to, and the average is $1.6 million. That's what those houses, that size and that age, is worth. He says, wait a minute. I put in $800,000 worth of improvements. Got it. The key to pricing big homes is the improvements. We know what the box is worth. I can tell you right now, that's easy. I'll tell you what the box is worth. But some people have sick money, crazy money, a lot of money, and they'll just dump it. $200,000 in a kitchen. Holy, $120,000 in a bathroom. $400,000 in a pool, right? $800,000 in that house. Seller's math goes like this. 1.6 plus 8, 2.4 to me. But years and years and years and hundreds of homes over $1 million tells us that a capital improvement, which is the kitchen, the bathroom, the deck on the back, the gazebo, the pool, Those are all capital improvements, one half. Customary, one half for a capital improvement, okay? So the $800,000, give me the list of what you spent. Let me look at it. We deemed they were all capital improvements. That's $400,000. 1.6 plus 4 equals $2 million. Big threshold, right? So I want to talk about thresholds. Don't let me leave without saying something about thresholds. So we put it on. Now, Ferris was pointing out that the more expensive the houses are, the smaller your buyer pool. So sometimes we only have one shot. That 10, 11 contracts that Billy had the other day, that's a little weird, over $2 million. Granted. You thank Julie for that. Did she leave? Thank Julie for that, because that's some powerful marketing right there. So we may only have one buyer on that house. I said, we got to keep it under $2 million. That's where the buyer pool is. We found one buyer and one buyer only, who came in and said, I got to have this house. He's looking under $2 million. If we went over that, they never would have seen it. So I'll give you $2,050,000. He was a Sampson agent, and he's buying it for himself. $2,050,000. That was the only person looking at it. That was the only person scheduled to look at it. And it's like, we are in deep trouble. We don't have anybody interested in a 1991 house that's that big, that's got all that stuff on it. It's just, there's not that much buyer pool. We hit them and got them. So how did we price that? We moved up based on cosmetic improvements. Now, sometimes somebody will have a house and they'll spend $200,000 waterproofing the whole house because they had damage in the basement, blah, 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 blah. He did all that. He got $0 for that $200,000. Why? Because a customary house already has a waterproof basement. That was, you just fixed what was broken, right? So you get no money for that. And we gave him, and we got that sold, right? So when you're putting a price on a house, you have cosmetic improvements, which are 6-to-1 good. Paint, hardware, lighting fixtures, making a house go from traditional, right, to transitional, that will improve. That'll make you 6 to 7 times the investment. So tell me the stuff that we did cosmetically, and I'll add, multiply that times 6. What did we do? What did we do as capital improvement? Okay, cut that in half. So you put together and you say all these pieces say your house is worth X amount of dollars. Okay. Now, the thresholds at this price range are different, right? So you can go from 675 to 650, new buyer pool, or 700 to 675, new buyer pool. When you get up into a luxury home, which let's call that in some markets 1.3 and other markets 1.7, at that range, your thresholds that you need to stay under are at $50,000. So Morgan just had a house on. We put it on for 1.85. Nobody was coming to see that house. Nobody, right? So we did a predictive analysis and said, hey, man, 1.85 is not bringing in the people for this house. We dropped it to 1.8. Sellers weren't happy. Sellers said, hey, man, you said it's worth 1.85 to 1.9. I was like, yes, I did. But I also said we need to find where the buyer pool is to get there, right? The buyer pool is not at that number. What we're doing a predictive analysis is just find the buyer pool. Remember, our houses this weekend sold at 8% over what we listed them for, right? So that comes out to about $100,000 a house. So you go and we dropped it from 1.85 to 1.8 and sold it for $2 million. Okay? Now, that is not the exception. That is the rule. That is why I can tell the seller, no problem, I'm going to have you to your settlement table on April the 12th. This will be sold maybe 2-1, 2-2, even in a market that's 14% under contract, 14% success rate. So that's the way you build onto a customary value on the left. Now let's take a look at the right. The right is going active today, okay? It is not active, but it's going coming soon today. This is a $3.9 million house with $300,000 in upgrades, right? They're selling the new house. You can go in and buy it right now. It'll take them 8 months to put it up, but you can buy that for $3.9 million but they put in $300,000 in upgrades. Seller got married. He's going somewhere else. We've got to sell the house. Never been moved into. $4.2 million. We got a problem. We got a real problem, right? We've got Route 7 right in the backyard, right? Right in the backyard. So what happened is the other agents, three agents have already tried it. They put these shears up in the back windows that were from Penny's or something. It's like, what the hell does that look like? What are you doing? They're trying to hide that there's Route 7 is like right there. I can see the cars. I said, this is a problem. It's not a $100,000 problem. This is a problem, right? So here's the deal. When you do luxury homes, you got to work with top flight people. And I will say for all of you, if you're talking about a landscape or some kind of problem with traffic or I got right on the phone with Tommy McVane from Merrifield Garden Center, right? He's a go-to guy that'll fix any problem you have. You call Merrifield Garden Center, talk to Tommy McVane, he's going to fix it. I FaceTime him, I said, that's a problem. He goes, no problem. We're going to build a berm. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? We're going to build a berm in the backyard that's going to take it. It's going to go all the way up to the fence line. And then we're going to take all those trees and we're going to build a living barrier against that wall. This is what it's going to look like. Holy shit. I never even thought about that. I never thought about that. So that's why you work with professionals, right? So on that house, I still have it in the backyard. We still have to deal with it. Let's take 3.9. We're going to go off at 3.45. That is $500,000 less. Maybe $700,000 less than you could buy it now. Put a price on what that street, what the damage of that street is, right? So step one, put it on at a price that's going to make the buyers feel like this is the greatest deal they're ever going to have. So then you spend $75,000 or $100,000 on this berm. If you're spending $303.4 million, 75 grand is in your checking account, right? Build the berm. Put the trees up. Have Merrifield Garden come in here and dump $100,000 in your backyard. That goes away. That goes from the biggest eyesore of all time to one of the coolest looking things you could have. A berm that has cryptomeria on it, has a waterfall in it, has all this great, see what I mean? So then the sale now sounds something like this. We're not trying to hide it with shears. We're saying, look at what a berm would look like in the back with this kind of stuff that Merrifield Garden can do for 75 to 100, right? So that'll mitigate it. You're going to get the house for 3.4 million, which is basically 800,000 less than you would if it was new. And you could fix it for 75 to 100. You net $700,000. So sometimes we're not going up, sometimes we're going down. So how far down do we have to go? What is the problem that somebody's going to walk in and go, holy geez, I can't buy this house. There's a road right there. What if the road, you can't see it? And we can give you we need to figure out why are you not going to buy this house and come up with a solution and maybe not do it ourselves, but give them the solution that they can do. We do that all the time. When we come in, we're not, and let me just stop for a second. When you get a house like this, you really need to pump the brakes. When you get it, let's say, what in Waldorf, what's your guys' average house that you sell in Waldorf? 450. So let's say they have $900,000 there. Okay. So those are luxury houses. And that's a plum for you guys if you get a 900, right? Or a million or whatever. So you go in there, you're so excited to get it, right? Because this is a game changer, right? We need to pump the brakes and we need to not get excited that it's a big one, right? And we need to figure out as we go through, is it in transitional condition? And what do we need to do to put it in transitional condition, right? And this house looked like it hadn't been cleaned since the builder was there. Now that had gone through three realtors. There were cobwebs on the front door. Clean it, get everything perfectly set up, come up with a plan for the backyard, price it accordingly so we can make it a deal, Now launch that sucker. And when people come in, we're going to tell them you're going to buy this house at about $800,000 discount. And I'm going to give you a solution to how to fix that in the backyard. So, you know, if you want to live in a $4.2 million house for $3.3 or $3.4 million, there's your house, right? It's going to launch today. So we didn't get excited about having this big house in McLean. We got thoughtful about what's the problem. And then I always say on my team, we have a motto, the truth will set you free, okay? The truth will set you free. So you just got to tell them the truth. We got a massive problem here, man. You got a road in the backyard. We got to fix that. We got to price it, and we need to fix it, right? And not only that, but you got a master bedroom back there too, so we really need to fix that back there, okay? That's Route 7, and it can be a problem unless we fix it, okay? So when we talk about pricing, it is all about upgrades or discounts should there be something there, some reason why somebody wouldn't buy the house. So let's figure out what's the reason they wouldn't buy the house. Let's come up with a solution for it. All right. So, let me go back. So home prep, right? So they want it to look like this, okay? This is Edgecombe. This is Revere pewter walls. Maybe a little, what's your little greeny thing? Oyster Bay, little Oyster Bay in some of the rooms. That house on the left, we walked into, and it had a problem. It's a nice house, but the backyard was very small. It wasn't back into a road or anything. It was just really small. It was only like 20 feet, right? And there was an easement back there. So we're in here, and it's a big house. That was 6,600 square feet above grade. And Morgan was with me on this one, and I'm like, oh, please, please, please don't say we got to paint this damn house. This is a big ass. So as you see me praying over here, the seller's praying too. He's like, oh, please don't tell me I got to paint this damn house. Morgan's like, oh, yeah, we're going to paint this house. Yeah, we're going to paint this house. I just painted it 2 years ago. Yeah, it's yellow. It's going to show terrible. And the thing about it is, let's say we have two houses. One is perfect, has everything, has big backyards that have gazebos, one that's coming on today, that one that I sold, we're gonna put on for $2 million, it's gonna sell for 2.2. At everything you could ask for in that house, and those walls were tan, right? If we did Edgecombe, yeah, you're gonna get more money, but I got an April 12 deadline. I gotta get this thing done. And there was so much good stuff about the house that screw it, leave them alone. But on the Drew Lane, you know, Morgan is saying we got a small backyard. We really got to make the house shine. It's going to look 10 times better. We do it. Okay, here we go. $8,500 in paint. Look awesome. Sellers have sent us, I don't know, two or three clients have come to us from that seller, because they were so impressed with how well the home looked. And we really weren't gonna get contracts unless we made it look spectacular, right? So she made it look spectacular. We got two contracts, which is lucky. The first contract kicked out. The second contract was right there. So not only did we have one contract, we had two contracts. We never really would have had it unless we had painted the damn house. You know what I mean? I mean, right. And I'll be honest with you. Remember those agents that were left the house on for 200 days and only sold 20 or 30% of the houses? They're my age. They're my age. I don't want to paint that damn thing. I don't got the energy to argue about it all. But sitting next to me is a 30-something. It's got all the energy in the world going, now there's a window. It's not going to look good. We got to get this done. Sorry. And me and the seller are both going, but had we not done it, right? So I'm saying that I think a lot of times when you have the big agents, I think sometimes they just don't have the energy to fix up a house. They're like, screw it, looks great. It looks fine. Don't worry about it. But, you know, these guys don't let you get, you know, they don't let them get away with it. And if it needs it, it needs it, you know? So I think that prepping the house is extremely important, especially on the big ones. They have no time or energy to do this. We want to get it done. $8,500. We've already proved that $8,500 will make you $80,000 to $100,000 in profit. So let's not be house liquidators. Let's do what we have to do, fix it up, put it in transitional so you're not offending the seller, transitional instead of traditional, and that's where we go. Yes. This is Morgan. Go ahead, Morgan.
So what I was going to say is with the sellers, half the reason they were so impressed, so it's obviously easier if we just go in and we say we don't have to do anything at all. We don't have to be a project manager. But so we take on this. We all of a sudden have to manage all of our contractors. That was one of the reasons that they were so impressed with us. So that's why they keep sending us business. Being able to show them that we can get people in there, take care of whatever needs to be done, is why that they just keep referring people back to us.
Right. Yeah. And let me just say how important this is. And last week's show, I don't know if anybody saw it, but last week's show was sellers can't afford to leave $50,000 to $100,000 behind when they sell their house. And what happened was we were going in and talking to a seller. She was going to assisted living. Ashby Ponds had recommended she talk to an agent from Long & Foster. It's like, that's fine. You know, talk to somebody else. And then I looked at the track record of the agent that was coming in. All the homes sold for between 104 and 109. And they looked awful. None of them had been painted. None of them had been carpeted. It just looked awful. So I was like, wait a minute. If you just, you know, we know that you can go from old to you know, current for 1% cost of that house, right? $7,000 if you're on a $700,000 house. But the return, our house sell at 120 plus, hers sell at 104. So, I mean, there's a 16, 17% difference between putting in 1%, fix a house up, and selling it correctly and get the big mount. So 1% in, anywhere from 6% minimum to, you know, 12, 13% over list price. So I saw all these people going to Ashby Ponds and getting, in my opinion, because an agent was a liquidating agent, she was leaving $100,000 on the table on the list every day. Very upsetting. Very, very upsetting. Now that lady did decide to go with us, I'm very thrilled. But I'll tell you why I'm thrilled. Not that I got a listing, but I'm just going to save this lady about $150,000. Because if that agent talked her into liquidating that house, she was going to lose $150,000. Now, I don't know any of you that have priced, you know, assisted living. It's $8,000 a month. It's expensive. So for those of you that don't have to do it yet, it's expensive. So that is. And so the thought of, and of course, we've got a 96-year-old mother-in-law that we're taking care of. And to think that you would lose $150,000 just kills me, right? So very, very upset. Did a whole show on it. But we as realtors can't be liquidators. We need to go in and be professionals and say, here's what we need to do to take it from this to that. And I swear, if we put in a half a percent or 1% of the cost of the house, we're going to get back 6 or 7%. I understand not everybody has that money. Yeah, Billy, can you grab the mic? This is Billy Sampson.
Is this on?
All right.
Yep. That's very loud. I just want to say we sell a lot of 2 million, 1.8, 1.7. We also sell a lot of 600s. And it's the same thing whenever we go into a Sterling home or a townhouse in South Riding. If you put $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 in, you're going to return back 30 to 50. So we do work in price points many of us don't work in at Sampson. But even going into a 500,000 townhouse in South Riding or whatever, or it's priced 750 now or 800. The rules are the same, right? So a 2 million, you might have to sink 15,000 in, and you're going to return 120, 100, whatever it is. But even at the smaller price points, you know, 600, you put 3,000 or 4,000 in, you're going to return back 25 or 30.
Now, so here's why it's important to authenticate your track record to a seller. If they trust you, they'll do it and make the money. If they don't trust you and don't do it, they're not going to make the money. So it's up to us to make sure they have the confidence in what we say, that I can show them deal after deal after deal in their price range, in the 2 millions, in the 1.6 millions, in the 600,000s, whoever I'm talking to. we can show them examples of people that put in a little bit of money and got back a lot of money. So this is really very, very important. You've been listening to Coffee with Casey. Today we've been talking about selling luxury homes, the things you need to do in order to sell a luxury home. There are hundreds of thousands of dollars at stake. In markets we sell in, sometimes there's only 14% of the homes sell in the proper time and for the proper value. So it's important to stick with protocols when selling luxury homes, and that will make your clients the maximum amount of money. My name is Casey Sampson. This is Coffee with Casey. You can go to caseysampson.com, listen to the podcast on all the shows. For more information on the real estate strategies and market conditions, we'll see you again next week. Thanks.